Alexa, what is the baddest podcast in the land?
Here's Pulling Back the Curtain podcast registered from Amazon Music. Playing the latest episode.
On today's show, we pull back the curtain on selective empathy and much, much more. DJ, man, I swear to God, bro. This audience is probably like, where the fuck have these two been? But we are back again.
It was a busy summer for your boy. Heading into senior year, though, the last ride. And school has just started, and I tell y'all, I'm like that MC Light song. I'm keeping on, because it's been a struggle with them senior classes, I ain't gonna lie. But I'm doing okay. Press, how are you?
Man, shit, I'm right there with you, man. The summer, I was like, what summer? That shit came and passed, and I feel like literally all I did was like I was in one airport to another airport, bro. Like, I swear, it just was a blur. I lived out of a suitcase for the last 3 months, right? So yeah. Now that my coverage is over, now I can just only do my little weekend travel when I go down to Champaign. Mm-hmm. Life is grand. Life is beautiful again. I'm definitely very appreciative, because I'll tell you one thing, bro. While I love and I embrace the grind, mercy.
Right. Nah. Because for me, as much as I don't travel, see, I also still like have to assume that old role in my family. Like, I was in high school because I didn't go out a whole lot. I was like, if you need help, DJ's there kind of guy, you know, like almost like I joke like Ghostbusters, like, who you going to call? Like, that was my role in my family. And in all reality, now that I'm kind of doing other stuff and getting my career going, it's weird that on my off days when, you know, the team's out of town or whatever have you, I still have to assume that role that I used to have. So I was watching my 4-year-old nephew for most of the summer, which was a lot of great bonding for me and him. You know, he started getting to music a little bit. So I got to show him some like old 70s stuff that doesn't cuss. Like one of his new favorites is Get Down on It from Kool and the Gang. Like, cause I just played that one day. So I'm loving some of the experiences, but it still is tiring. It's watching a 4-year-old. Like, it's still a tiring experience.
Yeah. How does stuff for me, these damn kids nowadays? I can't, man. I hope that your family is definitely imparting this kid good behavior, because, man, brother, as I was talking about airplane the other day, mm-hmm. I was coming back from Vegas, man. If this kid wasn't talking like the loudest motherfucking conversation I've ever heard him have with somebody have with a parent, I'm like, kid, your mom is sitting right next to you. I shouldn't hear you 7 rows up. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
So my point is, I don't hate to sound like the curmudgeon guy, because that's how I sound. But people out here, if you got a kid on an airplane that's doing all that and extra, shut that kid the fuck up. Some of us are on there, we trying to unwind.
No, you're not wrong, though, because I also made a trip to Vegas for Pop's birthday, and we had one of them, too, and I was like, And I remember the first thought we had was like to my older cousin. She's almost like an older sister to me, but like my first thought, me and my brother were like, she wouldn't allow that with my, she wouldn't allow it with our nephew. I was like, no. I watched her snatch him up one day, so I know she'd do it. And it was one of those, like, we were like, oh, but I was like, he deserved it, but it caught me off guard. I ain't gonna lie. But yeah, no, but it was definitely a great bonding experience. I do laugh. Now he's in school. We used to joke like his best friend was 21 being me for a long time, but it was cool. But yeah, it was great. But it was one of those things, though, when you're covering a game and then it's like, oh, get home midnight. And it's like, oh, I gotta be up at 6 a.m. to go pick him up. Like that was an experience. I ain't gonna lie, though.
I'm sure that's also made you not want to be in any hurry to be somebody's.
No. My mom loves it. My mom's like, I love y'all watching your nephew. It's like free birth control. I was like, you know what? You're not wrong.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong.
You're not wrong. Foul, but you're not wrong. Like,
because when y'all had enough, you were like, all right, here.
Yep.
Go back to your mom.
Yep. And then the best part, I gotta send you this picture, so maybe you could show the Patreon folk. So he knows how to use like iPhones and iPads and stuff. And at one point, he's got the TV going, and my mom's sitting there. So I felt like, okay, I fell asleep on him though. While he took a picture of me while I was asleep with my phone.
Yo, he got you.
Yo, got me. And it was bad because like you could tell like I was deep sleep. Like it was atrocious. Like
Caught you lacking.
complete lack. And the best part, then he took a selfie. Like almost like he had evidence. Like, guess who got you? Like the next photo I saw on my camera roll. And the best part, I had to go cover a game, so I find it. I'm at the game, like going through footage, and I just go through. I'm like, why is that picture of me? Is that me? And I tapped, and I was like, no, he did not get me. I was like, yo,
Little man
cracking
got
up.
you.
He got me good too. I was like, yep.
Man, speaking of got, your boy Canelo. Boy. Them lyrics by Kendrick Lamar. See, listen, that Kendrick Lamar basically diss saga, that thing aged well. Because what did he say in one of the tracks? How he was whipping feet like Terrence Crawford? Bro, Terrence Crawford whooped the fucking shit out of Canelo. Now, I will say this though, DJ. I give Canelo a lot of props because I know you're not that much of a boxing fan, but you know enough to know that a lot of these boxers protect their records. A lot of them are afraid to fight top contenders. Canelo's never been that guy. He have fought Floyd Mayweather. He have fought some of like the top guys in the game. And then taking this bout on with Crawford, man, I give him all the props, but he still got his ass whooped.
Oh no, he got pieced up. I can't lie, as Press said, I'm not much a boxing guy. I did watch. For me, it was a little rough of a watch because I was waiting for someone to go down, because that's what I'm there for. If I'm watching a fight, I'm there for the knockout. I know it's unrealistic, but that's what I'm there for. And he did get him a couple times. I was excited. I was like, oh, he's gonna go down, and then he'd stay up, and I'm like, ah, man. But I will admit, to your point, props to Canelo for taking them fights on. It feels weird sometimes when everybody got a good clean record. I'm like, where's the one guy in the corner who's clearly getting his ass kicked every night for everybody to be have a clean record? I remember we was watching it, and that's the first thing I had. So, like I said, props to Canelo though, but it was a good fight. I admit, for someone who's not a huge boxing fan, it was an enjoyable fight for sure.
Listen, man, I thought it was probably, and I'm this is not me basically hyping it up, but I thought this, to me, in my opinion, the greatest non-heavyweight fight in the history of boxing. Because this is my thing. A lot of times with these prized fights that they have, you get a lot of dancing around the ring. You get a lot, 4 or 5 rounds of guys filling each other out. Man, right away, these two dudes got two.
Oh, wait in no time.
And they didn't wait any time. And I love that. Also, too, Crawford. When he started to like understand that Canelo couldn't do shit to him, bro, he stood right in the middle of that ring, man. And he was like, I'm not backing up. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. What's up? Because Canelo has that power, and a lot of boxers are afraid to just trade shots with Canelo. Man, Crawford was like, power. I ain't tripping on that shit. He took like Canelo's shots and then countered. And I feel like in that moment, I think Canelo realized, oh, I'm in here with a real goon. And secondly, he was getting frustrated in that fight. I don't know if you peeped it, but everything he was trying to do, Crawford was like, whatever, countered that shit. You know, that would have frustrated the shit out of me. Like, I'm like, man, he had everything for him and then some.
Now, I admit though, they definitely did go trade blows right away. And like I said, minimal, but you're right though, because they do usually be trying to fill each other out and moving around though. And I would ask to your like non-heavyweight like greatest fight of all time question. What would have been the fight that would have been there before that though? Like
Good
that is
question.
the, cause in the you're like I was
I
like
would
cause it.
probably say, that's a damn good question. I liked Mayweather De La Hoya.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Cause like my first thought when you said it is all the first fights I could think of. I realized I picked a bunch of heavyweights, so I was like. But that doesn't count. Because my first thought when you're the greatest fights of all time, I thought Ollie Foreman. Then I was like, wait, no. Big
Heavyweight.
George, no. I'll say Big George Foreman was not, no. He was a heavyweight, all right. I was like, then of course I thought about Tyson. I was like, no, never mind. I mean, yeah. I guess Mayweather Pacquiao in my lifetime that I remember as a good fight. But I don't know if that's more nostalgia in my brain.
I think so, because that fight didn't add up. It was more, he should have fought Pacquiao like 3 years before he did. You know?
Yeah, I also was like 10, so I was like, nostalgia, I think, has me in the chokehold on that one. I remember the hype around that fight, but I was real young, so but that's like
And
the first
then,
thought.
and I was gonna say the two back to your Pops era, probably the Sugar Ray, Roberto Duran fight, you know, like, so this is my thing. That's aging things a little bit, but I would say probably that and Aubrey Mayweather and De La Hoya. But, you know, back to this fight, man. I'm loving the fact that this thing was on Netflix, so I had to spend
Yes.
$89.99 to watch that shit.
I will
Salute to
admit.
Netflix for the free. I'm giving y'all free advertising because y'all did y'all thing.
Yes. I will very gladly admit, part of me not being a box fan is I was not paying to watch that. I cannot lie. I never was big into boxing and I never had the necessary feel to like pay for it. There's other sports where they got like things you gotta pay for, and I'm like, all right, I'm a little willing. And my dad kind of had the same, like he never was one to be like, oh, we're paying for it anyway, too. Yeah, no. And then also too, I admit, I understand it's a fighting thing, maybe, and I get there, they was out in Vegas. But that fight being at midnight, why y'all have to be so late with that though? Y'all had me. I was fighting sleep sitting there on the couch with my boys watching that. I was fighting sleep.
So many people were saying that, and that's the thing. These main events are starting to get later and later and later, man. But I tell you one thing, though, man. Shit, I was so hyped up after that fight. I went and did a Peloton ride, even more free advertising. I got to stop talking about you brands, but I went and did a ride. I was so fucking hyped up, DJ. I was like, let me get this fucking 45 minutes in, man. Shit,
I
Terrence Crawford
respect
had me
you,
fired up. He had me fired
man.
up, bro.
I can't say the same. They were like, the winner, Terrence Crawford. I was like, all right, y'all, good night. I gotta go to sleep. My eyes closing in on themselves. I was fighting
That's too
sleep.
funny.
I remember I laughed because the undercard fight right before theirs, like we watched like the first the last two right before. So that other one finishes, and I was like, all right, here we go. And it was about, 10:45, 11 or something. And then it was like, the last before the fight, I was like, what do you mean there's another one? I was like, come on, y'all, it's too late for this. Like, and all my friends started laughing at me. I was like, yo, I'm a little, like a little old man. I had bedtime. Like, come on, y'all, this
DJ,
ain't
like,
it.
stop playing. You like,
I
stop
did. I was
playing.
like, yo, come on, man. Eesh, like, it was too late for me. I couldn't. It was a
That's
good
too
fight,
funny.
though.
Really good fight. And like I said, I hope there's a rematch because my goodness, boxing, we deserve that one. I think so. And then somebody asked me this week, they were like, is Terrence Crawford a better fighter than Floyd Mayweather? And I agreed with how Terrence Crawford answered that question in the presser because he said that basically Floyd was the best fighter in his era, and Crawford said, I'm the best fighter in my era.
Yeah,
And
that's the way to attack that.
that's the best way to attack that, right? At the end of the day, though, that's a tough one, man, because Floyd
Yeah.
Mayweather is probably the most defensive, probably the best defensive fighter we've ever seen. Like, you can't beat something that you can't hit.
Right.
And there's not too many people that got clean shots on Floyd.
Yeah,
And so
that's a tough one.
with Canelo, he was tagging the fuck out of Canelo, but man, Floyd would be in that boy like, just dodging all them punches. So I don't know. We should do a simulation. We should do like how they did in Balboa. Wasn't that Balboa? Like when they did the Rocky spinoff and they did the simulation of the fighters and they kind of matched them up in their prime versus their prime. Somebody needs to do
Oh,
a simulation.
yeah.
I'd
That'd
love
be
to
a
see
good
that.
one.
I'd actually pay to watch that. You know what? Listen, I'm over here giving somebody $1 million idea.
I know.
I
Stop
mean,
it.
I can't be giving no free game, man. My
Right,
God.
right. Come on now. Stop playing.
Speaking of free game, what we got on these mailbag questions, my man?
Love this
Okay.
segue. All right, first mailbag we got is from Leslie. And the question says, how do I cut off a friend who shows no interest in my life? So here we go. I have
What's the
tried over
backstory on
the
that?
yep, here we go. I have tried over the years to offer details about my work, my hobbies, my spouse, and where I've traveled on vacations without acknowledgement. But they will tell me all the things that they have going on. It leaves me feeling that I should no longer bother offering any details. Frankly, I don't see this as keeping in touch at all. Would it be rude after all these years to stop engaging with this person? Now, Leslie, I will go first because, funny enough, I kind of had a similar situation myself, sort of recently. And it's the more the cutting off the friend part. There's a part of you that just has to accept the fact that you're fighting to try to keep something that they clearly do not care about. I will use this with one of my college best friends. He was kind of a day one, and I've kind of started to realize that this man pretty much kind of threw me and my other homeboy under the bus for his girlfriend. And I mean like in spectacular fashion. And I was the one, we had a huge friend group, but it was like really us three that was like cool within the friend group. And I remember everybody else within the friend group for the most part, it kind of was like, I'm done with him. And everybody sort of kept cordial with him because I was the one guy trying to keep it alive. And honestly, when you do enough things wild, you gotta just let somebody go. And in this case, it seems like you are literally like to them, they're venting to you. You've been turned to a therapist, like I was for my homeboy when stuff would happen with his girlfriend. And there's a part where you gotta protect your peace. So there's a part of you that just has to full blown be like, this is not helping me at all. I'm literally doing this, keeping this alive for who? Because at this point, unless it's for yourself, who are you keeping this alive for? Because there's a moment where clearly this other person does not care, Leslie. So now it's like, why should I? Like, what are you really fighting for? And that's something I had to kind of sit with myself with over the summer or recently and kind of been like, who am I doing this for? Like, at this point, I'm doing this longer for myself. And I'm like, because if I was doing this for myself, why am I still here? And so you kind of have to sit there with yourself, Leslie, and kind of accept the fact that, like, even though, you're probably going to miss him and then you had some good times, possibly, I don't know how much this friendship is, you got to accept the fact that at the end of the day, like, you got to do what's best for you. And if they don't show no interest in you at all, why are you showing all this interest in them? A quote my mom used to tell me, don't give someone a starring role in your life when you're just an extra in theirs.
That's a bar. That's a bar and a half. I feel like DJ, you and I have like similar stories to that. I have a story about that. I'm not going to dig into that particular story because OG listeners of this podcast understand what I'm referring to. But what I would do is I'm going to take this question from a high level. And what I would say is if somebody's like your friend, then it's not a situation where you have to keep them up to speed with your life. They should already know what's going on in your life, right? Like, I feel like DJ, like, even though, like, I'm not trying to little bro him, but I view him as a brother. I follow along with what he's doing. So it's not a situation that DJ has to just come up to me and say, oh, I was covering this. I already saw what he was doing, right? I kind of just make sure that I'm like appraised of what he has going on, right? And my thing is, when somebody is your people, that's what they do. So if that person's not doing that, and then when you are trying to have that type of conversation and dialogue with that person, and they don't seem like they're really into it or invested in it, they've already shown you twice what they think of your relationship, friendship, whatever it is, right? So I feel like in these situations, it's always one-sided when one person is the one that's feeling the way that you're feeling, meaning they're putting in all the effort. They're the ones that's like, man, how come this person doesn't take this interest? Or how come this person doesn't hit me up? How come this person don't ask me questions? I just kind of feel like the person's letting you know right then and there. So to me, it wouldn't even be that hard of a decision. And I don't want people to think, DJ, that I just cut people out of my life like that. Because it's not like that. However, though, I'm in this whole era right now protecting my peace and protecting my energy. And the last year has been like really, really soul searching for me. And so I just feel like in this life, man, this is so short. I know that people say it all the time, it's such a cliche, but it really is. And I would just say to you, don't have people in your life that don't deserve a place in your life. Because when it's all said and done, do you want to just be surrounded by a lot of people, or do you want to be surrounded by people that actually give a fuck about you? Because I would say when I was younger in my life, I had all these people that I quote unquote call friends, DJ. These motherfuckers weren't no friends. They were just people that I could go out with and shoot the shit with and play video games. But when life got fucking real, none of the motherfuckers was around. But you know what? The people that are still here today, those are the people that went with me through the ups and downs of life and all the trials and tribulations of life, right, DJ? So that's my long drawn out way of saying protect your energy. And if this is the way you're feeling, always follow your first mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. I will say too, I see the little brother thing as a sign of respect. I don't know to that what you said first. I don't know if it's because I'm a little sibling, maybe, but like I always see that kind of as like a sign of respect. I will say that though. But to that point, as you said, I also just like Press keep up with the stuff that he's doing, and it really is like you said. If you are a friend, you know what's going on in their lives. You don't have to do the like, how you doing? Now you do it out of respect. You know, I'm just one of those like a conversation starter, but it is something that you should know. Or if, so like to me, to know that in your mind, like you could be like, oh, someone's like something happened to you and they could have no clue what's going on. That like you said, like Press said, that's not a real friend. They're not really there for you like that. And kind of how he said about a soul searching ear, I kind of had that moment a couple of times myself. With certain people and from my childhood and stuff of like, especially with stuff I've done and some people are like, oh, like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, what do you mean? What am I doing? Like, have you not Have you not? Like, and it's one of those, like, it was really bad. Like, and I remember, like, I even had this laugh with my brother. I had this interaction when I was back home for the summer. We ran into somebody we ain't seen in a long time. And he was like, "Oh, I see what you're doing. You know, keep it up. Blah, blah. I'd be seeing all your stuff. I'd be liking everything." And he walked away. I told my brother, I was like, "That man's lying." He goes, "How do you know?" I said, "Well, you can see who likes your stuff on social media. Like, you can see who does it." And I was like, not to be funny, I do take note. Not that I'm out there running around chasing people down, but it's like, I take note. Like, I ain't dumb. And it's like
Did
one
you
of
be
my.
clocking them? Be like, you don't need to
And
be liking my
no, but
videos.
I was like, my brother walked, he walked away. And tomorrow, I was like, by the way, he's lying. No, actually, I'll say what I was like, he's full of shit, by the way. Like, that's really what I said. I was like, and it's like one of my other friends I got back to campus said it. And I was like, "You don't gotta say that." He's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I already know." And he was like, "What?" And I was like, "I can see what you all do. I'm there. Like, if the names pop, I know all y'all, all my friends, I know y'all the usernames and whatever and stuff. So I know who it is." And they were like, "Oh, so you do?" I'm like, "Yeah, y'all gotta try to prove to me that y'all watching sport. I don't have to know, but I can secretly take note if I do want to start clocking folk and be like, oh, like, like, but there's no need to do that because at the end of the day, if you truly down with me, I already know you are. And you prove it without having to prove it, kind of thing. You know? And I, like I said, like I proved that with that other friend that I kind of had to be like, you know, click, you showed a couple too many times that like you clearly ain't there for me. And for price, I'll explain to you the cherry on top with that friend, the moment that really had me. Like, cause we are in an apartment, you know, we roommates, he's abroad right now. So all this conversation you're gonna get hold till like January. But we had to move units in the spot that we were at, and I was back there for a day, like one day in July. And he kind of asked me, like, "Oh, what are your plans for after school?" And it's funny because I was like, "If you keep up with me enough to know," because Prez knew this long, Prez knew this enough to know what my plans after school was already. So I explained to him anyway, and I explained the thing of pretty much I'm going back home because you know after my Nana passed, which y'all on the pod know, she gave like I got her car. Me and my brother moving into her apartment, so it's like why go anywhere else? And his response was, "Oh, I forgot you got lucky." I was like, "What, excuse, sir?" Like he said it, and I was like, "Nah, it's not luck. Like
Wow.
my Nana passed, gang." And he was like, "Yeah,
Yeah, that
yeah."
ain't luck.
It took me way too long to fully be like, "Why am I doing this?" So to Leslie, before you pull at me and they say something outrageous, and now you're like, "I should do this 2 years ago." If they're not down with you, just get out now.
Don't look back. Don't look.
Yep. And like to Leslie, kind of the same. If they're not showing interest, like you just gotta do what's best for you. Like why? I put all the effort in when you're not getting it back.
What we got next, my man?
All right, next we got Jared. And it says, "In a world where there are clear double standards, why are Michael Porter Jr.'s words being mostly written off as toxic without understanding the honesty and truth in his messaging?"
So, as DJ knows, as obviously audience, as you guys know, I'm gonna say things how I see it and how I feel. Now, Michael Porter Jr., I feel like he has not come across a microphone that he doesn't like. And that's been a thing for him all off season, man. Because my thing is right now, man, this dude, in some instances, I'm not going to say all, but in some instances, he basically does not think before he speaks. And that's something on this show that even if I quote unquote say something that's going to be, everybody's going to get all upset with me about, I've thought it through. I'm not just shooting from the hip when I say things. Now, to the question that was asked, we do live in a day and age where people claim that they want honesty, right? They claim that they want authenticity, but they don't want those things, Jared. I'll say this to you flat out honest. And I'm not trying to be labeled misogynist, but I don't think women want men to be honest. Because the moment that you tell a woman the honest truth, is the moment that you're gonna be sleeping on the couch, is the moment that that motherfucker is gonna shut you down on some sort of situation, and it's gonna be a problem, it's gonna be an argument. Case in point, fellas, how many times has your woman asked you, how do I look in this? What is your response? Because I ain't never ever once said, I don't like that one, or you got something else? So, my point is, Michael Porter Jr. is basically shining a mirror on certain situations and people they don't like looking at themselves in that way. One of the funniest parts of this whole thing was they asked him something about would he rather have a thot daughter or a gay son? Now, obviously, I think it's messed up what he said. But there's some people out here in this world that would agree with the take that they wouldn't want a gay son. Now, I feel like you should love your kid regardless.
Amen.
Second part. I'll be honest, I'm gonna raise my hand. I wouldn't want a thot daughter. I would love my daughter regardless, but I don't want my daughter to be out here for the in the streets like that. So when he got the question, he said that shit was tough for him, right? So he gave a response like a real dude would give, meaning he had to think real quick and say, "Damn, I don't know about either one of those scenarios." But what I would say about that is, there's a lot of people out here in the world, especially some men out here, old school fathers, they will feel the same exact way. DJ, you and I talked about this on the show before with the double standards between how women are raised by their fathers versus how the son is raised. You talked about that in your own family. I've talked to you about that in my family. This shit happens. I'm not saying that it's fair. But so in my situation with Michael Porter Jr., he says some stupid shit, but he also says some stuff that other people feel and think. But a lot of these people, for a lack of better words, they're just not going to stand on it and basically say that shit out loud. And so my thing is, what he's guilty of is saying the quiet part out loud.
Honestly, when I heard half of the statements, he did say the quiet part out loud. Because one of the things he did say, and it was the quiet part out loud that people don't want to talk about, and I laugh because I've had the same argument, funny enough, was the high school basketball team versus a WNBA All-Star team. And I had this argument with my uncles and my dad. And it was such a hilarious conversation because we're sitting there, and now this was even like a disrespectful, like how it came off. But like when they said it the first time, I was like, what? Like, and I had we had to, and it literally broke down because like my uncle's he's literally a varsity coach in my city. And he says it, and like we're watching a W game, just sitting there chilling. He's like, and he goes, "Yo, my team from last year would dust them." And I was like, what? And I was like, wait, 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 wait. And then when they kind of we got further in the conversation, I understood kind of what, and it's sort of the funniest thing is the same thing that MPJ kind of said, which was just like the athleticism, in a sense, because some of these basketball kids, 6'5" or something, can dunk, and it's like, what are they really doing to stop that? Now, to that counter, I will say, I feel like the IQ and the gap between an 18-year-old and a legit, seasoned vet, I feel like that IQ is enough that it should not matter. The same reason why I feel like if I were to take on a ninth grader right now, per se. Granted, they might be bigger than me, but I have a little more tricks up the sleeve. Same reason you see old heads playing on the basketball court in the park. Like, they can still make it work. But to that point, he said the quiet part out loud because we had this conversation amongst ourselves. And the reason why it's coming on this podcast is because MPJ said the same thing because that conversation was pretty much not determined to leave the room. Now, granted, every time something fun will happen, or like, they'll have those random clips of like, players like making mistakes or something. My uncles would send to me as a joke and be like, you think they win it? And like they mess with me now because I've pretty much backed the W, but it's all jokes. Like they're still professional athletes. Like, and it's also like their argument was like certain teams. They're like, you just take an average high school team from like random nowhere. They're like, no, they're getting dusted. But like they're kind of almost how MPJ said, the McDonald's All-American. But like he said the quiet parts out loud. I'll admit with the whole thought daughter gay son thing, I think just being a man in a different era where like it's more normalized with the LGBTQ community. I don't see the whole gay something as a problem, and I just don't understand like why there's controversy in that question. But to your point, in a different generation, you're like, oh no. So I kind of understand. I like, but like you said, the main thing for MPJ was the quiet part out loud because the other thing he said, and I was just like, ooh, that if you have a bad game, that's coming back for you, was the part with the gambling. He was like, yo, tell your boys put 10K down to have a bad game. And I'm like, technically, your logic is not wrong, but you should have not said that out loud because I was like, if you have a bad game now, you look suspicious. Like, you meet, like, why would you? And so I feel like reason why he's being written off as toxic is because he's like, as much as yeah, he's saying his truth and what's real to him, and I can respect that. There is a part of you that was like, yeah, almost like the PR training part like left you, and I feel like that's why it's all just being it's all of it in its entirety is being written off. Even though there's some parts of it that you can pull from and be like, that's actually something real that he just said. But I feel like too, with all due respect, not that it should matter, but let's be honest, society we live in, sometimes it does matter. The platform and the way you do share certain things also matters. Because I'm sorry, if me and Preza sat on here and had that whole McDonald's All-American versus WN debate, WNBA debate as two WNBA journalists, we're probably gonna be taken a lot more seriously than two dudes sitting in a jacuzzi. I'm just saying, like that also I feel like plays a part in the it's getting written off on a Twitch stream, which, you know, as much as I'm in generation, I understand how the Twitch things work. There are certain people where it's like, so you just on a camera just live streaming your whole life, like what are you doing? Like, so I feel like the presentation part does also play a big part into why it's getting written off, even though there is some parts of that that you could say like, well, actually he's spitting some truth there. I respect him for just saying what he's got to say. I would argue like you should probably think before you say something, but I feel like that's something anybody would say to him. So, but you know that I just feel like the presentation and just, you know, saying quiet parts out loud is really why, to your question, Jared, it's really getting written off.
Yeah, I think so too. But also, I think that we should be in a society where we should be able to, because like DJ and I on this show, he may see something one way, I see it another way. At the end of the day, hey, that's still my guy, right? And I feel like for him, I'm not going to agree with everything he says, but one thing, DJ, I'll always tell you is I'd rather know what side of the argument you're on. Then for you to be over here with me talking about, oh yeah, man, I see it your way and I'm on your side of the thing, but then your actions don't line up with the things that you're saying. No, tell me who you are so I know. So then I can make my decision for myself if I'm gonna fuck with it or not, right? Because another thing about this whole Michael Porter Jr. thing that I thought was crazy was how his brother took a strike. So everybody knows his brother got involved with the gambling stuff. And Michael Porter Jr. basically said, yeah, my brother's vice is gambling. My vice was women.
Yo, he did. Threw him right under the bus. Straight
Right
under
under
the
the
bus.
bus.
Just straight under.
I'm like, man, I don't want no brother like that. I wish somebody would.
Right.
I'm
That's
like,
gotta stay
yeah.
in-house. Come on now.
Bro, come on, man. You can't be doing that. Can't be
Nah.
doing that. So I don't know, Jared. I think that we just live in a society where people don't want the truth. They say they do, and they don't. I know the women gonna get upset with me. But guess what, ladies? Y'all know I am not lying. Y'all know I ain't lying. There's a bunch of them. DJ, ask one of your female friends. Be like, hey, if I told you that you didn't look a certain way at something that you was wearing, would that change the way you would look about me? You'd probably tell me to fuck off. You'd probably tell me all kinds of things. So I'm just gonna tell you, you look good, girl. You ready?
The keyboards are typing as we speak. I know they're going to get you. I will admit though, I will. I'll admit.
I've never worried about a keyboard warrior. I
Nope,
never.
you have, and I respect you because you're like, go ahead and ask my female friends. And my first thought was like, I dare not. I said, no. I ain't starting no argument for no reason.
Yeah, but you just proved my point.
You're right. I do. Unfortunately, I play right into your card, and I give you credit because I was like, nope, I'm not doing that.
That's the master journalist card I just pulled on, and he won. That's why I get all the quotes out there, audience. DJ fell right into that trap. Thank
Yep,
you,
I should have
DJ.
did. Hook, line, sinker.
Boom. So obviously this episode today, man, we're talking about the selective empathy, right? That's going on in the world today. And I thought the timing of us getting back on the show, DJ, was it's kind of interesting, right? Because where we are as a country, and you and I have had many shows where we've talked about how these things are just so twisted and divided, right?
Yes.
Now, last week, we had another school shooting. And DJ, so many people in this country will talk about gun control on one hand, but then on the other foot, they're, don't take my guns away from me. I got to be able to protect my family. And I've said on this show too, I have guns. I got guns literally in the room that's locked up in my home. But if for some reason someone passed some laws and they were like, hey, you got to give these things up because we're trying to protect kids, fine. I might be a little salty about it, but then I'll just go learn karate. You know, Jay-Z learned karate in his 40s. I could do it too. My biggest thing with this whole situation in the world right now, DJ, is these guns, they're making entire schools. And the dumbest shit that someone said to me was they should get the teachers' guns. I don't want no damn teacher having no gun in their desk.
Thank you.
What happens if the teacher forgets to lock her desk and then a student knows that the teacher got a gun and they go in there and shoot the kids, right? So my whole thing is these situations are happening in this country because we don't have guidelines. We don't have checks and balances.
Mm-mm.
And we also have a country that's riddled with mental health. And not just the adults, the kids. We have kids in this world that are being raised by parents that should not have kids. I'm just gonna be honest with you. There's a lot of you parents out here fucking your kill children up. These kids are so fucking twisted up in their heads, man. They don't know right from left. And in this day and age, man, it's just tough, right? Because you have all the online rhetoric, you have all these media and the TV stations that have all this programming and in the internet, right? It's all this stuff that's basically just being programmed into these kids, man. I mean, there's no situation where you have a 15 or 16-year-old kid that's being indoctrined, DJ. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
At 16, the only thing I was doctrined by was going to the mall, getting me an Auntie Annie's pretzel, even more free advertising, and then trying to holler at some female. That was my indoctrination. I'm like, man, what can I do? What can I get into at this mall real quick? Let's go to this food court and see what's good. No, these kids now, they out here getting involved in all kind of things, DJ, and it's insane. And I'm not
Yep.
trying to sound like the old guy on the show here, but I feel like one of the reasons is because I didn't grow up in the internet age. So I went outside.
Yep.
I had real experiences. And
Yep.
so my point is that a lot of these kids are missing the plot nowadays. And it's
Yes.
because of the way that they're being raised. And also, too, a lot of this stuff, man, is a lot of these kids are unhappy. They're getting bullied. There's the online component of the harassment. And instead of them having people in their lives that are paying attention to them and understanding what's going on with them in their lives, DJ, they're probably ignoring the kids. They're ignoring the signs. Because come on, as a parent, and you know this from having siblings, your parents, if they really are aligned with their children, they know if something's up with their child.
Yes.
I don't want to hear that shit about, oh man, it caught this parent off guard. No, you know your child.
Yep.
The moment that my child start putting on trench coats and start dressing all weird and start watching weird stuff, I'm like, no, what you watching? What's that? You got to pay attention to what they're doing.
Yes.
And people will sit up here and they'll listen to me, DJ, and they'll be like, oh, you blaming the parents. Well, yes, I am. Because a lot of stuff is learned. And also, too, you got to
Yes.
protect the child from the child. And so this episode, we're going to touch on a lot of different things, man, because on this very day, DJ, that we had the school shooting, we had a very polarizing figure in our country get ch shot and killed. I'm not going to call it an assassination because you ain't MLK. You ain't Malcolm X. You ain't JFK. You ain't Abraham Lincoln. You're just a racist. But I just wanted to get your thoughts, DJ, just on just the parallels of that. Like, you have this school shooting that doesn't even get discussed by the man in office, but then he can sit over here and have this whole soliloquy about Charlie Kirk.
Before I go into that, to some of the points you said about the youth. And I thought about this too. And the other thing I did with my summer, besides watch my 4-year-old nephew, was spend a lot of time with my 13, soon to be 14-year-old cousin. And the thing was, my aunt, uncle, they out there working. One of his best friends, his mom's out there working. But kind of like you said, even though they're working and they're doing stuff, and it's not their fault, there is a bit of them that these kids were honestly about to go sit in this house. I remember saying to my cousin back in January, I said, "What are you doing this summer?" He goes, I don't know, probably not a whole bunch of lot, maybe like go with my friends out in the streets." I'm like, and like, they're gonna go play soccer or whatever. Like, I know him, he's not too crazy, but still, like, you're just, what are you doing? And so I made it a point when I wasn't watching my 4-year nephew or covering or doing whatever, me and him were, we were doing stuff. One point we made a trip because it's like a couple hours from me, went to the Club World Cup in Philly, took him to a game. We went Six Flags, got season passes, went to water, like, we were doing stuff. And the whole idea was, get you out the house and get you outside. Now, I thankfully, though technically part of the on your phone internet generation, my parents didn't really allow us to have phones until we needed them to be necessary to be safe when I was in like middle school and had to walk from school to the Boys and Girls Club. So I also grew up in the I was outside doing something age. And to me, I was like, these are the years from him, you're middle school, you're like, these are the years you're supposed to be outside doing stuff, being out every day. And I'm like, I don't. And kind of to your point, though, a lot of this stuff is taught with these children. So I'm kind of right there with Prez. I blame the parents. This stuff is taught, And these kids, I someone who worked with children a lot, which some of you on the podcast listeners should know I do. When I did, like, Some of these kids had phones and all this stuff. And I'm like, why are you on the internet seeing this stuff? Like, there was things, memes and crap I was seeing, but I'm like, why are y'all at 8 and 7, 8 and 9 and 10 seeing the same stuff I'm seeing? Like, y'all shouldn't be seeing this stuff. And so I will say a lot of this, most definitely, is taught. Now, to Mr. Kirk. This was a very interesting thing to happen. And I say that because, and before I say what I'm about to say, I'm not saying killing this man was right. Nothing of that. Let's no. That man had his children grow up without a father. That woman lost her husband. It was not right. I do find it insane, though, that kind of how Prez said, a school shooting happens and the kids were swept under the rug like it didn't even happen. For them to treat this man like an American hero. Now, to some people, he might have been their hero, I guess. Definitely was not mine. What I do find very strange, though, is the rewriting of the past. Because I'm sorry, this was the same man who very much on record was like, oh, some children dying is necessary to keep our Second Amendment right. And I'm just like, now we're calling for gun violence and all gun control. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, let's not change the narrative. And that's something I don't like. To me, I get you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead, but let's not pretend that some things didn't happen. As someone who just recently lost somebody, look. There were some rough times me and my nana had. I'm not gonna run around sharing them. I'm also not gonna run around and pretend that those things didn't happen like they did. And to me, watching that was insane. And just the parallels, as you said, selective empathy. Because I'm sorry, Kaepernick kneeled, we kicked him out the league. Charlie Kirk getting memorials out before a football game? What for what reason? I'm in Washington, D.C. I was doing stories for my journalism classes. I went down towards the Capitol. Because I was doing stories about the National Guard and whatnot, and I was like, you know, let me go scope the scene out and see if I can find these people in the stray. And why were the flags at half mast? I was like, I don't want to be that guy. But I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. Because I was like, he wasn't a political figure. Like, he was a person who grabbed a mic on social media and just spewed hate. Like, that's a thing he did. That's not a, like, there's no false, like, that's what he did. Let's not go back in time and change the past. Now, I'm not saying, now, for some people, like, there's a Texas Tech student recently, who's running around cheering about, no, I'm not saying we're supposed to be cheering. That's not right either. Let's make that very clear. I'm not saying cheer and dance on his grave, none of that. But let's also not pretend like he wasn't who he was. Let's not change the narrative and rewrite history, something this administration is very good for doing recently, if y'all have not paid attention, and pretend that this man was something different. Because that to me is the most insane thing I have ever witnessed. Because I've seen articles somewhere back in my city or in my state, someone was getting fired for saying something about it, like kind of being like, let's not pretend he wasn't who he was, and got fired. And I'm like, that's insane. Like, no, that's the truth, though. We can't, don't rewrite the truth because it doesn't fit the nice, like, no, at the end of the day, you reap what you sow. Like, what that man did, he is now paying for. With all due respect, the irony that the man who was pretty much like, oh, the kids, you know, kids dying in schools is part of keeping our Second Amendment right, dies by a gun. Is kind of ironic. Not right, but ironic. So let's not now change the narrative because what happened is kind of, in a sense, I'd argue karma. It's not right, but it's karma. Like, let's keep it a buck. And I find that, like, that change in the narrative is like the most frustrating thing, because I couldn't believe my eyes when I'm watching football and seeing these tweets and stuff and whatever have you, them honoring, putting memorials up. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, this man was, and that's the thing too, assassinate, he was not a political figure. Like, let's not forget that. And then to that, funny enough, there was political figures who were shot and didn't get not near the attention that this is getting. And that to me is insane.
And they were assassinated.
Yes. And right under the rug with them children in Colorado. Like, it didn't even happen.
You know what's interesting, DJ? And I definitely, you said a lot there. And I want to, before I unpack a couple of those things, something that I want to touch on, because we are doing this episode about selective empathy. I want to go back to some words from Charlie Kirk, because I believe that he made comments about empathy being something that was made up and a new age term. So he just ascribed to empathy. And something that I've talked about a lot on this show, DJ, and I've talked to you a lot off of air, is that just because it's not something that I go through personally, does not mean that if something happens to you or somebody else, that I don't feel for that person. But there's people in this world that they can't look past their own feelings about whatever it is, right? It don't even have to be about political views. It could just be about whatever, right, on a day-to-day basis. But there's people that are so immune to what someone else is going through that it's almost like for them, well, it didn't happen to me. Shrug the shoulder and they keep it moving. To me, that's sad, right? Because now I see all these people with this selective and fake outrage right now. And I'm like, he was not a political hero. He was not some symbol that was wronged. This is somebody that fucked around and found out, as everybody says. Point blank.
Literally, literally.
And I will disagree with DJ on one thing. I don't give a fuck about his wife because she was married to somebody like that. She knew what he was into. My whole thing is, DJ, I know that whoever you end up in life is going to be somebody that, for the most part, is going to be aligned with you, right? If I see you with this person, I'm like, this person's going to be a good person. They're going to have morals. They're going to have values. They're going to value family. It's going to be all these things that basically captures who you are as a person. So when I see his wife, she knew who she got in bed with, literally.
Yeah.
So my standpoint is now when I'm looking at her and now she's talking all tough. And I'm like, lady, go bury your damn husband and get off the damn internet talking shit. Cause you looking crazy. And she got a real strong jawline, which I'm kind of a little confused about, like what's going on there. Now, I will say this though, DJ, the kids, right? That's tough, right? So you did bring that part up about kids growing up without fathers. No kids should grow up without their parents. Like, so that part I do feel for. But the wife, I don't feel no kind of way about that because you were married to a piece of shit and you're probably a piece of shit too. And I feel sorry for those kids because they're going to be raised by a monster. And so my main point is people want us to have empathy, right? But this is a man that didn't believe in it. This is a man that at every turn, everything that he stood for and everything that he was about was hating everything that these people claim that this country that makes this country so great. Everything about this country, this man hated. And now all these people now are eulogizing him. DJ, you said it perfectly when you talked about the fact that Colin Kaepernick took a fucking knee. And these people are out here, he's politicizing the game and he's this and that. He's a trash quarterback. It's like it's hurt. It's all these things. Did I see that the Dallas Cowboys, who their owner did not want any of their players dealing, and you take and you do a moment of silence for this piece of shit. Jerry Jones has always shown you who he was. And to the point we made earlier with the mailbag question segment, when people show you who the fuck they are, you believe them. Jerry Jones is a piece of shit. He always has been. But it's the same audience, DJ, that's, you should be standing up. People died for your freedom and all this other bullshit, right? What about this guy? All the things that you quote unquote claim that this makes this country what you will bleed for, he shit on it. So my point is these MAGA people, they're very, very complicit in who they are. They don't give a shit about half of the things that they claim that they care about. All they care about is hating people that don't look like them. And they will do anything and everything to excuse that behavior.
They
Even
sure
in this
will.
situation with who killed Charlie Kirk.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm pretty sure you do, press, because you tapped in, was the switch in the rhetoric of folk before they found out what the killer looked like and after. Because the way that there was a lot of tweets of death penalty and all this other stuff, then they found out that was a straight white dude. And they were like, well, mental illness. And I was like, wait a minute now. See, and that I said the rewriting of history. At that, I don't like that. Now, I'll also admit the scariest part about Kirk and him being shot is knowing that, to your point, how these MAGA people are very on just the, you don't like me, I hate you. Very simple. There's a good chunk of kids, I'd argue, in my age range and a little younger, who are now coming up in politics that are going to be pretty much almost by that MAGA group almost weaponized, if you will, because there's gonna be a group of people who are maybe borderline or something, and them seeing that and him killed in cold blood and the way they're spinning the narrative, it's going to get some people on their side, and that to me is very scary. Also, how I'd argue coincidentally, they say I'm like, of course they did, because then of course all the HBCUs get threatened right after. I'm like, up oh, here we go, like, and knowing that they are pretty much going to use this to straight up drive, like, in a sense, drive a war and further the divide and make it worse. And I know this for a fact because, and I will give credit that it was a repost, which is it popped up on my feed and I saw it, but they had our sitting president on a show the next day, and they threw him what seemed like a very softball question. A very, hey, Mr. President, say the most obvious thing you're supposed to say here, and here you go. Here's a quick little home run for you. And they said, how do you bring this country together? And his response was, and I quote, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I don't really care. The right or the left, the left is bad. And he said, the left is the villain. And I was like, you literally had a very simple, like, the answer was just, we got to be all come together. Like, you had it. It was right there, sir. But then I'm like, once again, to the point of like Jerry Jones, when people show you who they are, believe them. Because also to that, I ain't going to lie, Kamala said half of this shit was going to happen, and y'all was not listening.
They don't want to listen.
But they
That's the problem. They don't want to listen.
they didn't want to
They don't want
listen.
to listen.
Because she
Yeah,
was
they don't want to
saying he was
listen.
going to do some of this stuff, and everybody, oh, no, yeah. And here we are.
They were too busy judging her blackness. They were too busy telling her, us that there's no way that she didn't wash grains and this and that. She probably didn't, but who gives a fuck? That they were worried about the wrong shit, as you and I have talked about on the show. One thing that I want to say real quick. The way that some white people in this country, DJ, want to rewrite history
Insane.
and change narratives. I mean this seriously. I want somebody, I'm giving another $1 million idea. Somebody needs to study that. Somebody needs, one of these people is going for their doctorate, their PhD, they need to do their dissertation on this. Because all I was hearing from people telling me is, oh my God, man, it's so crazy. He was a polite, he was a family man. And oh my God, and blah, blah, blah. And he's living behind the wife. Because DJ, they even got you. You was over here in your beginning peach talking about the wife and the kids, which I respect that. Like, listen, I'm not going to come for you on that. Because again, I have empathy for all. However, when I started doing more and more research on this guy and seeing what he was about, I tell you one thing, bro. I didn't see one clip where I saw that side of him being a good man and a polite man and a family man. No. Like I said, everything, clip for clip, was just hate, everything, everyone. When that man basically said, if he saw a black pilot, he's gonna be thinking to himself, I sure hope he's qualified. It's just shit like that, bro. When the man said that he thought the most Dallas Cowboy fans were 5'6" and Mexican, everything that he said was just entirely fucked. And these are the people that sit out here giving this man a moment of silence. I'd have booed the fuck out of that moment of silence. Fuck you. You don't deserve my moment of silence. I'm opening up a bag of peanuts right now. Fuck you. I'm gonna do anything and everything I can. And listen, you know, I don't even like when people's text alerts be going off. I turn my motherfucking alerts on. Fuck you. Because this is my thing. I'm a person that tries to have empathy. But in order to show empathy towards someone, they have to at least acknowledge what empathy is. That's where me and this guy, I can never align with somebody with that type of thinking, bro. When someone says, I can't stand empathy, what exactly are they saying? Are they saying that basically they don't give a fuck what happens to children? They don't give a fuck what happens to black people or brown people. They don't care about people that are being deported from this country. They don't care about anything that has to do with anybody as long as it doesn't affect them. So great. I didn't get shot in my goddamn neck. I'm on this microphone speaking right now. So I don't give a shit. Right? Is that how it works, Charlie? Yeah, you can't answer that right now, but is that what his ideology is? Because I got so much on this. Because for me, there's so many people in this country right now, DJ, that they will break their back. They will go out of their way to excuse bad behavior. We have been talking about this shit for so long, man, that this the different inequalities in this country. And it's not just about black people. There's all type of inequality that's going on in this world. But the simple fact of the matter is, on this show, we make sure that we identify any marginalized community, any marginalized place that's out there. It ain't just about us. There's so many people in this country right now that are affected by the things that go on. And that's why I feel like I can't get down with somebody that can sit here and they can see all these things that are going wrong with this world. All the people that are basically hurting and being hurt by the policies that are being put into place, and you feel nothing towards that. So based on that, when I saw him get shot in his neck and he went down, I felt nothing towards that. I just looked at it and was just like, oh, okay. What did they always say to us? What did he do? What did he say? What was he wearing? Cause everything for me, DJ, is about promoting understanding and unity. But everything that this guy was about was hate, white supremacy, prejudice against races, bro, religion, sexual orientation. Even the moment when he was getting shot, he was talking shit.
That's the craziest part, too. He sure was. He sure was. That is, like I said, the irony of the situation is actually like insane. Because you, like, as to your point, he literally was actively doing the thing that he is known for, or was known for. But, like, that's really like what he was doing in his last breaths was even arguing about gun violence as he gets shot. Like, that's. Like, it's the moment where I can't lie, I almost get conspiracy with it, and was like, I wonder if this was staged, if this that the timing of that was just so crazy. Because how, like, you can I almost like you can't even write that, how wild that is. And I just it, the rewriting of history, and that's the part that really has upset me the most. Like you said, just the rewriting of history is actually insane, and knowing how this administration is doing it. Actively and getting away with it basically is
100% getting away with it.
it's unacceptable. I like this man's trying to close down museums and stuff. Like, how do you like and it's and like how do y'all like it's like and it's just irritating watching it happen in real time and knowing that this could have very easily been prevented. To your point, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. We all were sitting there watching that TV on January 6th. I don't understand how someone can do something like that and still folk are like, let's give him another shot. Like, that's actually insane. And it's like literally we are now paying for it. And literally, like, who that man is and who what he's done with that troop. They're literally like they that MAGA troop is why Charlie Kirk was allowed to exist and say the wild shit that he did.
Yeah, and to your point about Trump, right? Now he's over here lowering the flag. Right? Didn't do that for the school shooting. He definitely did that for the senator in Minneapolis that was gunned down, assassinated. Didn't do any of that. But you do it for somebody that's that divisive. And everything with Trump, bro, it comes down to a couple of things. He's disingenuous, right? I don't think he even believes in half of the shit that he spews, man. He has a base that
Oh,
he's
no.
playing towards. And for Trump, it's all about power. He knows that if he does and says these things, he stays in power. That's all he cares about.
Oh, yeah.
But my point is, though, is if I was Charlie Kirk's wife, look how this man, after this death was supposed to have been so traumatic for Trump, the very next day, this motherfucker's golfing without a care in the world.
Yo. Wait. Did you see the I saw this another clip I saw. He was holding a press conference and it was I think a couple of days after and one of the reporters were like, "How are you doing?" Because as he said, he pitched it as this traumatic thing that's gonna shake him to his core. And he was like, "Yeah, my ballroom." I was like, "Wait a minute, how you just gonna whoa, like just like it didn't even happen." And that to me was like actually like insane. Because like how do you just full blown just almost like just skip right over the fact. Like it almost didn't even happen. Like he said it in like this one word answer of like, yeah, you know, my ballroom. And I'm like, like this it really was I feel like almost like played for the cameras. Like everybody like his reaction and some others' reaction. You know, I just I feel like it very much like you said, selective empathy. 'Cause I feel like we've had other situations just like this where y'all were nowhere to be found. And I hear everybody trying to come out and pretend how traumatic this is. And it's ridiculous. Like you said, he was golfing and talking about his ballroom, almost like it didn't even happen. And to me, like that's insane. I will admit though, to the empathy point, mentioning the wife, I feel like for me, when it comes to like talking about empathy, I more so try to put myself in that person's shoes. So like I can only, as much as like you're like she picked him, and you're very much right, and that's what my mom said. I ain't gonna lie, mom had the same response, like, man, she picked him. And I was like, I can't argue with that logic. I just had the thought of like sitting there, like in the future, if someone were to take me out, like for my wife. And same
Well,
thing,
then
I thought
she
about.
don't be a piece of shit.
Fair, like I said, real good logic. I can't even, like, when you said it, I was like, I can't argue with that. I respect it. I know I'm also kind of the, like, if I was in their shoes, like, how would I feel? Like, and that's why I'm like, for the people around him, I'm like, he had a family. Like, and as much as like you're right, they definitely didn't, this family was not brought up until he got shot. Let's be real. I feel like I didn't know the man had kids until after he got shot. I'll be honest. And it's
Because
like
they don't care. They
because
don't care.
I admit they don't. Now, me, I kind of like when they go low, you go high. So I'm still trying to be like, if it was me, put them in my shoes. And that's just how I am.
Nah,
And I, hey.
but that's the problem. That's how Donald Trump got in office. We need to raise our damn heads notch, because think about this. These people have not hidden what the agenda is. They're doing it right in front of us, broad daylight. We gotta stop taking the high road, point blank. The high road got us into this situation that we're in right now. The high road is what the Democrats do. The high road makes them look like weak bitches, and the country suffers. Now, January 6th happened. Donald Trump, as soon as he got back in office, he pardoned each and every one of those people. Now, all these MAGA folks, they're all about law enforcement, they're all about the country and the sanctity of democracy and all these things. And everything that those people did in January 6th went against everything that these people, quote unquote, stood for. And lo and behold, these people excused the way they behave. So when I see these type of things, I'm like, these people don't stand for anything except for fucking hatred, racism, and anything that furthers white supremacy. That's what this shit's about. That's it. And so a guy like Kirk, all he does is he furthers that agenda. And guess what? There's gonna be another Kirk that's gonna pop up. It's gonna be somebody else that's gonna say, oh, I could get all this rage bait off of all this. I can make money off of this by saying all these crazy things. It doesn't end with him. But the point is that I hope that it's a lesson to whatever person right now that's in their fucking basement buying a microphone and thinking they about to fucking get a platform built up. You better think about that shit now. Because what Luigi showed is there's consequences to actions out here now. And we're in some times, right? And that's why DJ, I pushed back on you, because now fuck that. We not turning the other cheek no more. Shout out to you, Martin. I love you, Martin Luther King, Dr. King. You had a dream, but we ain't turning the cheek no more, man. It's by any means necessary, because that turn the cheek shit, we're not talking about people that are civil. We're not talking about people that you can sit down and reason with. You can't do that. That's not what this is. You gotta fucking fight force with force. That's what this shit is done. And again, I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna watch and see how this thing unfolds, because I'm not gonna be surprised if we see some sort of racially composed thing happen from this. And black people, we had nothing to do with it, nothing at all to do with it, but we're gonna somehow get dragged into it.
I'd argue we already are dragged into it since they threatened the HBCUs.
Well.
I'd argue we're kind of already getting dragged into it anyway. But if not that, something else probably is coming. And to that, I'd say you are 100% right. And it's gonna suck when it happens, but like I would not be surprised if it inevitably, unfortunately, does.
And I guess as we wrap up the show, DJ, I think my biggest thing is, I think the selective empathy is why we're in this situation all the way around. Because if Charlie Kirk wouldn't have had selective empathy, or he, in his case, he didn't believe in it at all. But you have a group of people, these MAGA folks, they have selective empathy. Because right now they're out here with this deep emotional connection to somebody that don't know them, that never knew them, and probably didn't give a shit about them, right? And my whole thing is, but they don't have that same connection to seeing someone homeless outside that's hungry, or seeing someone outside that needs something, or seeing somebody pulled over on the side of the road and they have a car issue. Where's the empathy there? See, a lot of these people, they claim that they care, but they don't care, man. As long as it furthers an agenda, that's what these people care about. And one of my things that when I look at this whole selective empathy stuff, man, I blame the media because there's so much shit that's out here right now that's being consumed. And that's why I brought the point up that I brought earlier, man, with that kid that was involved in the school shooting. Because there's so much stuff that's being pumped out there, whether it's on the internet, whether it's on these news programs. And a lot of it's dangerous, man. A lot of it's rhetoric. I mean, you look at like people trying to act like Chicago is Fallujah, right? And trying to send people here. And it's like, why don't you worry about fucking fixing the problems in your country and leave fucking Chicago alone? Chicago doesn't need you. If you want to do something, release those Epstein files. You over here doing stuff. Everything about him is trying to divert attention from something that actually needs to be done. Everything with him, he is a diversion king. Oh, let me release these MLK files, which were absolutely nothing. And the family asked him not to do it, and he did it anyway because he doesn't respect anything. Everything for him is a spectacle. And my whole point when I'm talking about this is the media is a big part of the problem because these media people, they give him a fucking platform. They give him an audience to spew his nonsense because they know that anything he says or does, people are going to fucking flock to him. If you don't give that man the attention that he needs, well, what happens if you don't give a fly what it needs to survive? It's dying. That man right there is an attention whore. As DJ mentioned, quote unquote, his person, somebody very near and dear to him died. It was supposed to be such a earth-shattering thing. And he's over here in the next breath telling you about his barroom is being built. He's at a fucking football game doing his stupid ass fucking hand dance. He didn't give a fuck about it because he don't care, bro. He don't care about anything. He only cares about himself and furthering his agenda. And his agenda is power. And whatever allowed him to have that power, that's what he's gonna flock to. A big thing in this country, DJ, that I find is just on a human level, on a day-to-day basis, that we just lack basic empathy for one another, right? And so while everybody's over here picking apart and saying, well, I can't believe that you guys are okay with somebody being gunned down like that. And then on the other side is, oh my God, like this is so messed up and this is crazy that this happened and he didn't deserve that. And I'm like, well, I can't really say that. Because nobody's out here trying to gun me down. I hope not. I hope not. Knock on wood. But my point is, I think it's less of a chance for that shit to happen to me than it is for what happened to him. And I hope that Trump and any of these other people that have Trump's ideologies, I hope this was a lesson to them. Keep your head on the swivel. And also, have some fucking empathy. Like, there's people out here that literally, bro, are hurting. There's people out here that don't know how they're gonna fucking make ends meet. There's people out here that are desperate. There's people out here that are looking at these things that are going on and they feel like it's hopeless. They feel like there's no way out. There's no way that they feel like they just lost all control. And there's no other solution than to do what Tyler Robinson did, which is he fought back. But see, we wouldn't have to do these things if, as a country, as a people, we just respected each other and again, had empathy. But when you have a group of people out here that are selective in that empathy, or in some cases, some people don't even believe in empathy, well, then what do you think that people are going to do? Because again, we no longer turn the cheek.
DJ, gonna hit him with that curtain call, bro.
This curtain call goes out to Vince Carter. Mr. Carter is the co-founder of Project Education Plus, PEP, and has dedicated his life to uplifting the Cabrini Green community through education, athletics, and intergenerational connection. Now retired, Carter was a teacher and coach in the Chicago public school system since 1976 and founded PEP during the 1980 teacher strike to provide structure, learning, and opportunity for the local youth. What started as an 8-week summer program has now grown into a year-round initiative serving children, teens, and college students all alike. PEP offers after-school tutoring, a computer center, and a summer STEM program for young learners, while Chicago Demons basketball program fosters teamwork and perseverance. Through PEP, Carter's lifelong commitment to community empowerment continues to make a profound impact. Man, I have a family full of educators. So for me personally, whenever I see an educator doing well, it always warms my heart. You know, my grandmother was assistant principal a lot of years. She retired now, and you know, just seeing, like I said, just seeing teachers like that and people do stuff for like the community, it always just warms my heart. As a kid who pretty much came up and, you know, is who I am today because of my community, I always love seeing people do stuff like that. So, Mr. Carter, salute to you, man.
Hey DJ, I appreciate that curtain call, and hey, I echo what you said 100%. And I really appreciate the work that Mr. Carter is doing. And also a shout out to the Chicago Demons. I've covered them a little bit on the AAU trail. Hey, they got some hoopers over there. But man,
That's what's up.
all respect though to Mr. Carter and what they've been able to do. Audience, as always, we appreciate you guys and your continued support of this platform. As we always say, without you, we wouldn't be. We're the Pulling Back the Curtain podcast. Thanks for listening.